It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The city of Milwaukee has been building new traffic infrastructure with the goal of calming drivers down and cutting back on speeding and reckless driving. According to data released last week, it's having an impact.
Mayor Cavalier Johnson says the new curb extensions, bike lanes, and raised crosswalks have lowered driver speeds and reduced the number of crashes this year.
These improvements reduce the numbers of drivers who are reckless in their motions behind the wheel by 19%.
Wow.
19% to make the streets safer for all users of the roadway.
Other Wisconsin cities like La Crosse, Madison, and Green Bay have their own traffic calming programs that aim to promote safer driving.
We're exploring how this infrastructure works and what lessons other cities could apply for their own streets. Robert Schneider is a professor and co-chair of the Department of Urban Planning at UW-Milwaukee. Robert, thanks a lot for joining us today.
For sure. Hi, Rob. Hi, Kate.
I listed, Robert, a few examples of traffic calming. Talk us through the big picture. What kind of things are we talking about when we talk about traffic calming as opposed to, say, you know, speeding enforcement?
Yeah, so the traffic calming is in the what we'd call engineering side of treatments to try to address speeding and reduce reckless driving. So that's changing the design of roadways. It may include changing how lanes are configured. Maybe there are four lanes at one time, then it changes down to three or two for through traffic. In some cases, the city has added traffic circles, so cars have to slow down to go around those circles. Curb extensions, which reduce the crossing distance for pedestrians at a crosswalk or intersection and help drivers slow down when they're making turns. It may include protected bike lanes where parking is not on the curb anymore. There are bike lanes there and the parking is moved out a little bit from the curb, or even adding median islands, which make it easier for pedestrians to cross to the middle of the street and then cross one direction of traffic at a time. This also helps slow down vehicles because they need to think about the infrastructure that's there and drivers react to that, and that usually in a safer way. So they're more aware of other types of users on the street. So the physical design of the street is what the traffic calming is doing.
Let's zoom in on Milwaukee for a moment. This new data out, modest progress, but progress, it sounds like. What do you make of what you're seeing Milwaukee try to do to slow down speeding and reckless driving?
Yeah, well, it's really neat that the cities had the forethought to collect data both before and after they've done a number of these traffic calming projects. The city had taken speed studies, which is putting out tubes for 24 or 48 hours and tracked the overall speeds of cars. You know, maybe it's 20,000 or 30,000 cars that go across over those 2 days. And they did that before they did the traffic calming project. And then about a year later, under the same seasonal conditions, they collected that same sort of data again. And so they were able to document how those overall speeds changed. And so what they presented through the mayor's press conference last week was were 14 different studies of these projects. And they measured two different things, or were reporting out on two different things. One is just the overall changes in the number of drivers who are speeding, which is exceeding the speed limit at all. And then they reported on excessive speeding, which is where drivers were going more than 10 miles an hour over the speed limit, which is particularly dangerous, especially because every mile an hour faster a car travels, if there is an impact with another car or a bicyclist or a pedestrian, the injury is likely to be more severe. So those high levels of speeding are really important to document too. But in each one of the examples, and I'll just list a couple of them, the speeds were reduced. So on Appleton Avenue, there's a project where they reduced the number of travel lanes, added curb extensions and median islands. Speeding was reduced by 23%, and the number of cars that were going more than 10 miles an hour over the speed limit was reduced by 7%. There are many similar documentation. They did similar documentation of the other projects and shared those last week.
And Robert, we're focusing on this Milwaukee data. This is not just a Milwaukee story, right? I imagine communities around the state are looking at this data and figuring out how to apply it to their own traffic calming programs. What kind of things do you see in other communities in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so some of the streets that the city of Milwaukee did their traffic calming projects on are commercial corridors, streets that may be major thoroughfares for traffic, but are also state highways. That's very similar to smaller cities and towns across the state that may have a state highway as their main street. And so other smaller communities may be saying, hey, you know, the results in Milwaukee are showing speed reductions along some of their commercial streets. You know, the commercial street in the neighborhood, you know, on the north side or the south side of Milwaukee is very similar to our core of downtown. And we could be working with WISDOT, and, you know, WISDOT was a partner on a number of these projects too, work with them or other local agencies to do the same types of traffic calming to improve the safety of their main streets as well. So I think it's really, many of these are main street type improvements, and they make it safer for car drivers, passengers, but also pedestrians and bicyclists, which are key to making these great places to be, not just streets where cars go through really fast.
Talking to urban planning expert Robert Schneider at UW-Milwaukee about traffic calming. New data out in Milwaukee shows things like curb cuts, protected bike lanes, and more seem to be slowing down traffic. How can we apply that to communities around the state? Robert, I want to talk about the speed of making these changes. I looked at a couple communities' procedures. If I wanted something in my neighborhood, I might fill out a form and then have to get a petition from a bunch of neighbors and get approval from engineering. Then they do a study to see if there's enough traffic and enough speeding to warrant it. These changes don't always happen quickly, do they?
Yeah, they don't. I think the city of Milwaukee has made a particular effort to move quickly because there's been such public interest in reducing the problem of reckless driving. And, you know, the city is a place that has seen increases in fatalities significantly over the last decade. And people notice it when they go out on the streets. So they have demanded change. And the actions that have been taken by the city are no accident. There's a policy that the city had in place back in 2018 called Complete Streets, which really has set up a number of these projects, because those types of traffic calming are ways of providing streets that serve pedestrians, bicyclists, and drivers all really well. It's not just serving the fastest automobile traffic, but trying to make it a place for everybody. The other thing I think that's going on is that the bipartisan infrastructure law that was signed a couple of years ago has provided funding to help support a number of these projects so that cities and towns and villages can move quicker towards making these types of changes. I think it's been a really fast change in Milwaukee, but what the city has done to collect these types of data has been absolutely essential because, you know, change can be hard to see if it happens very quickly, and people want to know, is it working well? And so having the speed data that they've collected has helped show, yes, we are seeing lower speeds, which creates safer spaces for everybody and ultimately should lead to fewer crashes on the streets, fewer injuries of people, and just creating these streets that people feel safer being out in, whether they're a driver, a pedestrian, or a bicyclist.
You've hinted at a tension here, Robert, that I hear about a lot, the strode problem. Street plus road equals strode. And the question of, are these downtown places streets where, hey, you stop at a restaurant, you cross the street safely to go to the store or the bank or whatever, or is it a road where our goal is to move drivers from point A to point B as quickly and smoothly as possible? Are we seeing the balance shift from thinking of these cities' roads as roads and shifting over to streets?
I think we are, especially in cities denser neighborhoods where people have seen the effects of high-speed streets on their local neighborhood restaurants, their local neighborhood shopping areas, and have seen that deteriorate over time. And they recognize that that was actually a place where the community came together. And, you know, over time, as the priority moved more towards road to move the traffic fast, those sorts of neighborhood-oriented destinations where people came together weren't served as well by that. And so the movement towards slowing down the traffic and making a more pedestrian-friendly space has become something that is unified neighborhoods around that idea. I think that it's a little bit harder in less dense areas that haven't had the history of that, where there isn't necessarily a tradition of, you know, the neighborhood commercial street or main street where people come together. But even in those places that are a little bit less dense, there are opportunities to still do that, reimagining how what are now larger parking lots by commercial retails centers or malls, reimagining places where people can live close to where they go shopping or where they go to work. And that can help create these types of places and the streets where people actually want to be out on them, not just traveling through them fast. That said, there are still some places that are roads where cars do have high levels of throughput to get from point A to point B. And in those types of places, pedestrians and bicyclists often still exist. So we've got to be extra vigilant about providing very high quality crossing opportunities at traffic signals, or even providing infrastructure for overpasses or underpasses for those types of places. Certainly.
Robert, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us. That's Robert Schneider, professor and co-chair of the Department of Urban Planning at UW-Milwaukee, with us for a look at ways to cut down on speeding and reckless driving in Wisconsin communities.